Well, thank you so much, Lacey and Pastor Chris and Leslie and Lexi, Gage on the drums, JR, who's still hanging out with me on stage, Josh, and if I missed anyone else's name, did I miss any names? Thank you to every single one of them, and Sam, who took the table up here. Man, we're so grateful for every single one of you. Hey, this week, my week started out, or sometime in the gym this week, someone uttered this phrase to me. I don't know if anyone's ever said this to you, but they said this to me. I'm losing the faith. That's how he started out. I was like, all right. I probably didn't say that. I was like, what's going on, man? I'm losing the faith. I'm losing the faith in humanity. So then I knew where he was going. I'm going to end with that story, but I wanted to start out there because I think where this guy has found himself, and we talked about this a little bit, I think a lot of people are feeling like that right now, just losing the faith in God, losing the faith in humanity, losing the faith in whatever it is. Just things feel like they're crumbling right now. And I think God has a word for us on that note, literally from his word. But if you don't hear it from anyone else, I hope you've already heard it today. You are so loved. I love you. Been praying for you this week and believing God has a word for us, and God has a word just for you. I've read a book over this last week by a guy named Dr. John Deloney. He's one of those Ramsey personalities. He wrote a book called Building a Non-Anxious Life. Highly recommend the book. I flew through it this week. Very interesting. He gives six steps to how you can have less anxiety in your life. Really good book. I really recommend it. But he started out in this book talking about the state of loneliness in society today. And he gave a bunch of different stats on this that were, man, it really gripped my heart. It's been on my mind all week, because one of the steps to not having so much anxiety in your life is opening up to other people around you, having community. But yet, in society today, we have less community than we've ever had. I mean, think about when COVID hit, church became very popular online, and then people really struggled to get back in the doors because they're able to, you know, go to church online. And that's not knocking anyone who does the church thing online. I've done it, and I'm sure everyone in the house has done it this morning. One of the benefits of technology, but we've gotten so strapped to screens and having relationships online or going to church online that we're no longer investing in community. And inevitably, because we've gone down this trail, loneliness is at an all-time high in America today, based off a lot of stats that are out there. One of the stats that really struck me was anywhere from 82 to 83% of people, thousands of people answered the survey, anywhere from 82 to 83% of people said that those they are closest to, those people really don't know who they are. So that would mean we all have close friends, we have a spouse, we have family, we have people that we would call, we're really close, we're good friends with, but then we feel like we're holding on to some secret that if we reveal that to the person, our friendship's over. Imagine living in that tension where you have close friends in your life, but you can't possibly open up to them like you really want to, so you're just going to hold it all inside, because if they really know how you are, how you think, and the things that you've struggled with, your past, your friendships are over, and this has led to just this deep state of loneliness. I was listening to a message over the last couple of weeks on worship, and the pastor said, there's a segue here, so hang on with me. The pastor said that, it really struck me, he said, worship isn't about singing, but is about seeing. And I'm not saying that exactly how he said it. I'm rephrasing it. Worship isn't really about singing. It's about seeing. And he pointed out that in America, we have a seeing problem. And when it comes to plenty of people in this country who feel lonely or they just don't feel loved, you and me and plenty of people are struggling to see how much God loves us. And that man I talked to in the gym, struggling to see how much God still loves a very broken humanity that's killing each other, God still deeply loves. And we need our eyes opened. In fact, when you came into the room today, more than anything, we needed God to open our eyes to how much he loves us and to how true his word is. In Psalm 119, 18, got it on the screen for you. The psalmist declares this, "Open my eyes so that I may contemplate wondrous things from your instruction." If you're struggling to see, which we've all been there, struggling to see the goodness of God, struggling to see how God can still have so much love for us, even in the midst of struggles or a hole that we've created because of sin. If you're struggling to see, by faith, ask God to help you see. You can write down Psalm 119:18 and pray this prayer. Maybe next time you come into the church house, pray that God would open your eyes so that you could see how wonderful he is. If you're struggling to see, you're not the only one. I think a lot of people came in here today struggling to see the goodness of God. And so when we're asking God to open our eyes, we're asking God to remove whatever is hindering us from seeing the wonders of his word. I love that word wonders, or wondrous as it says in our translation. It's marvelous. It's amazing. You could put great surprise. You could put astounding. And when you see that word pop up in the Old Testament, it's often referring to God's miraculous acts of delivering Israel. It's not just a bunch of instructions that we read in the law, but we see an account of how much God loves his people and the depths he's willing to go to reach his people, the forgiveness and mercy he extends to his people. It's not just a bunch of things they have to do. It's the way to a holy and righteous life, because God wants relationship with his people. Now, when we come over here to New Testament life, New Testament church, and we pray, God, open our eyes so that we may see your wonderful works and your law and your word, we have a complete picture. We have so much more than what they had in the Old Testament. We happen to have the death and resurrection of Jesus on our side. We happen to actually know a little bit about what is to come. So when life gets a little bit crazy and we start to lose faith in humanity, we can remind ourselves, oh yeah, this isn't the end of the story. So, oh God, open my eyes so that I may see how wonderful you really are and how much you love me. Have you ever had a moment where you're walking around and someone sees you like, hey, you know, Joe or David, I know you. And you're like, I don't think you do. No, I do. You remember like back in the day, such and such. And then you get real nervous. Your spouse is standing next to you like, don't say too much because I don't know what's about to come out of your mouth, brother. You've probably had that happen where you see someone in a restaurant like, I know that person. Or maybe you've done what me and my friends used to do because we thought it was so hilarious. I'd still probably do this to this day. You go up to someone and be like, hey, Brad, what's up? And they're like, no, I know you, Brad. And then you make up some reason why you know them and you just try to get them to agree with you that they know you. And then you walk off, they're like, that person's such an idiot. So this is some of the things that we do to bring ourselves a laugh, really, when we're on vacation. You should vacation with us. We have a lot of fun, all sorts of things. So this actually happened, though, after the resurrection of Jesus. There's a story recorded in Luke chapter 24. Jesus is walking with a guy named Cleopas and another person, and they're walking with Jesus. He's hanging out with them. They have no idea it's Jesus. That he's resurrected from the grave. They have no idea that they are walking with Jesus. And we read this in Luke 24, verses 30 and 31. They get ready to sit at this table and eat. Listen to this. They're sitting down at a table. They're about to eat with Jesus. They don't even know it's Jesus yet, because last they heard, he died. Listen to this. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. Notice their eyes were opened. That is a divinely ordained moment in Scripture, because we can't open our eyes on our own. Jesus had to divinely open their eyes to let them see, I'm no longer dead. There's nobody in the grave anymore. And that's what we need today. We need God to open our eyes so that we can see and so that we can embrace the word of God. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's where we've been the last few weeks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Thessalonians, bear with me as I flip to it. The Thessalonians embrace the word. You know, we were singing that song the beginning of the gathering today, I'll take you at your word. And we sing that in faith because we struggle to do that from time to time. Thessalonians, they took God at his word. And that's what we see play out in this New Testament church. In the face of persecution, they believed God in what he said and what he said for the apostles. So here's the big idea. You must embrace the word God speaks. You must embrace the word God speaks. Now, that whole setup was to help you see you can't embrace the word God speaks without God opening your eyes to the truths of his word. We need him to do that. That's so we should often be praying, God, open my eyes to your truths. I want to read the text for us today, 13 through 16 in chapter 2. Paul writes this, "This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and persecuted us. They displease God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. As a result, they are constantly filling up their sins to the limit, and wrath has overtaken them at last." Now, I'm going to call attention to the first couple verses of our text today. That's where we're really spending the majority of our time. And the first thing I want you to see from verse 13 is that God speaks. God speaks. He's speaking every single day through several different ways. The primary way we're going to talk about that God speaks is obviously through the word of God, but God speaks to us in all different types of ways. Now, when it comes to the word of God, that's the surest way that you can know God speaking to you. The other ways we'll touch base on here in a second, those are things that you must always put to the test. And again, we'll talk about that in a second. But the primary way that God speaks through speaks to us, speaks to his children, speaks to his church is through the word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God speaks through his living and effective word of God. Here's something about humanity. We are constantly in need of some form of spiritual diagnosis. Did you know that? There's always things kind of going wrong in our heart, but we're constantly needing to God to dive into our spiritual lives and inform us the work that we need done in our lives. But this is kind of how this works. You've probably all been there. A pain pops up in your body. Maybe a pain in your stomach or your side or your foot. And then what do you do next? You don't go to the doctor. You decide you're going to be your own doctor. You're going to go, or maybe you are a doctor. You're like, I can figure this out on my own. If that's you, congratulations. None of us wanted to do that type of schooling. But most of us, we go on Google, and then you go on WebMD, and within 1 minute, miraculously, you've discovered what's wrong with your life. And usually that means you're dead in 2 months. And so then you're planning out your funeral. You're talking to your wife like, this is what I think is going on. You have jumped to worst case scenario because of a pain in your side. And then you actually do decide, you know what, maybe I should get a second opinion because the doctor on WebMD, he's freaking me out. And then you go and it's like, dude, just take some ibuprofen. You have a cold or you have a cough or, you know, fill in the blank. It's usually not near as bad as you actually think it is. In fact, 99% of the time, it's absolutely nothing. But this is the world we live in today. We have Google and we don't want to go to the doctor. But when you actually go to the physical doctor, that's usually when you can be treated. And then life goes on. When it comes to the spiritual diagnosis that we need, too often we attempt to do this on our own, right? We talk to a friend who we think is real spiritual and we're going to get his advice in our life and what we're struggling with. Or we listen to that inner voice in our head and think, well, the inner voice has to really know what's going on with me. But the sure way that you can get your diagnosis for your spiritual life is through the living and effective Word of God. But this is the thing we struggle with all the time because it takes time to get in the Word of God. It takes time to study it and understand the Scriptures, but this is where we must go. You know, Hebrews 4, where we just read, tells us that God desires rest for us. And that's what's the kind of the context there in Hebrews chapter 4. He desires rest for us. He desires peace for us. He desires for us to have joy in the chaos. And what the writer of Hebrews was pressing in to us today is pressing into us today. What God's pressing into us today is the primary way to enter the rest that God desires for us is through the living and effective Word of God. So God speaks. Primary way he's going to speak to you and to me today is through the Word of God. Word of God. It's surer than anything else in your life, the Word of God is. It's surer than any encouragement from your spouse or your friend. It, again, is surer than that voice in your head telling you it's over. God speaks through his Word. If you want help in your life today, you've got to go to the Word of God. This is why, to be a member here, at the top of our list, we give 6 characteristics that make up a disciple. This is why at the very top, and it is not a checklist. The Christ life is not a checklist of I do this, 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 and this. But one of the reasons that we put it at the very top, you got to pray and read your Bible because this is the primary way God's going to speak to you and show you how to be more like Jesus. It's the most sure thing we have in our life. God speaks through his Word. You know how else he speaks? Through humans. God speaks through humans. I don't want to ignore that one because that's what we see play out in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul again says, this is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the Word of God that you heard from us, the Thessalonians received a word from God from Paul and his companions. Paul said the word to them, but it was really a word from God to them. That's what's happening right now, hopefully every single week, as the different people, individuals who lead these gatherings, hopefully they're speaking words of life, the Word of God in to you. This is how God gave us Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, which at the time, talking about the inspiration of the Word of God, was applied primarily or completely to the Old Testament, but we apply it to all of Scripture today. That God gave us his word through humans when they wrote it down on all different forms of writing material. He's long used humans to speak word to others. And so, yeah, God uses humans to speak a word into your life. Another way that God speaks to us is through life's circumstances. Now, that's a broad one, and this is one that I think is a bit abused. You don't want to abuse life circumstances, and always take a note that God's clearly telling me to do something. One of the best examples we have in Scripture of God speaking to someone through life's circumstances is our brother Jonah. Y'all remember Jonah, the guy who was eaten by a fish? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah was like, I'm going the opposite direction. Next thing Jonah knows, he's in a deep sea inside a fish. And I can't imagine, I told you I've went on a deep dive of that study one time. Don't do that. Take God for his word of what happened there with Jonah. Now, yes, God is always working and orchestrating within our lives. He's sovereign over everything. But when it comes to life circumstances, I've personally seen people quit or give up or throw the towel in on their marriage or some endeavor, all in the name of clearly God told me to do this. And so we have to be careful. In fact, too often, there's two things you'll hear pop up in church life. Number one, clearly through this circumstance that I'm going through, the enemy is attacking me. Well, we're always in a battle, that's true, but sometimes you're just going through everyday life. Life's hard. But then it could be I'm going through a difficult life circumstance. Clearly God wants me to move. Or again, clearly God wants me to quit on my marriage. No, that's not always how it works. Remember, the surest thing that we have is God's word. So when it comes to maybe a human spoke a word into your life, or maybe you feel like life is crushing in on you, and you feel like God's saying something to you, you know what you must do? Put the life circumstance, put the word someone spoke into your life, put it to the test with the surest voice of God that you have in your life, and that is the living and effective word of God. I'm not saying don't seek objective and godly counsel. No, do that. But this is the surest form of God's voice that you have speaking in to your life. So we know God speaks. Clearly what happened in 1 Thessalonians 2. You know what else we see? After God speaks, you know what we do? We receive. And that's what the Thessalonians did. Look again, this is why we constantly thank God. Because when you received the word of God that you heard from us. So when God speaks, you and I receive through some form of hearing. That's what you're doing right now. Whether you're processing the information or not, when you're reading the Bible, whether you're processing that or not, you are receiving it. You're hearing it. You're reading the words on the page, trying to make sense of it. And that's what the Thessalonians were doing. Paul and his companions were speaking the word of God into them, and they received it. Now, we have two groups of people in the house this morning when it comes to receiving information. You are either in, we'll call it group A, where you are just a fantastic listener. We all have those people in our life. You're just great at listening. Someone's talking to you. You're the type of person that you just intake all the information. Congratulations, I'm putting you in group A today. Or you're on the group B side, and you're horrible at listening. Now you're like, well, how do I know if I'm good at listening or if I'm horrible at listening? Because I want to be group A. Well, some of this is kind of a practice thing. If you're in group B, you're going to struggle to go from the group A. Well, here's how you know. If you're the type of person when someone's like, man, I got to talk. You're like, okay, you know, let's talk. And they're opening up, they're pouring your heart into you. And, you know, 2 minutes into the conversation, you're kind of like, you're already thinking what you're going to respond back. And then they get done talking and boom, you've got your response ready to go. If that's you, you're probably not that good at listening. But if you're in group A, if you're a good listener, and these are the best people to have in your life, I'm not saying cut out the group P people, group B people, because we've all been in group A and we've all been in group B. And these are made up groups. I'm just making groups up. So don't put yourself in either one of these groups today. Again, you're either good at listening or not good at listening. But if you're good at listening, you just sit there and you listen and you listen and you listen some more, and maybe they go on for an hour, but you just sit there and listen. And then they're done. You take a breath. Maybe you pray a prayer to God. God, give me wisdom in my response. And then you respond to what they actually had to say. It has nothing to do with you. You're genuinely trying to give wisdom and advice and love and care, whatever it is. This could be literally talking about anything. Here's the thing when it comes to receiving God's word, we need to be good listeners. But all too often, we go to the word and we already have a response to God before he's done talking to us. How many of you done that? I know I've done that. I wake up and I'm like, I'm going through this. So I'm going to go to the word and I know what God's going to say and I already know what I'm going to say back. No, we gotta just sit and listen and receive the word. When you're asking God to open your eyes so you can see the wonderful things from his law, you're asking him, God, help me be a good listener. I want to receive your word. I don't want to already have a response with what you're going to ask me to do. I just want to receive and listen. This is how we're called to live. And this is how we're called to intake and receive the word of God. We must be a good listener. Now, after you receive, there's a couple things you're going to do when it comes to God and his word or a word he's trying to speak into you. You are either going to receive it as it is, the word of God, or you're going to receive it as something else. That's what we do. Every single time we even read our Bibles, we either receiving this as the living and effective, inspired word of God, or we're saying, I don't really think that's what it is. So there's two things you're doing there. You're either receiving it as God's word or not. The Thessalonians, they received it as the word of God. God opened their eyes and gave them the ability to recognize it was sacred, not just some flippant human words that Paul and his companions were speaking into their lives. But where are you today? What's holding you back from receiving God's word for what it is? And that's, he loves you. He wants what's best for you. He sent his son to die for you. He wants to save you. That's for the non-believers today. But then even for the believers in the house, what's holding you back from receiving God's word for what it is? His love letter to you. His very word to you. We need God to open our eyes and we need God to help us see and receive. Once you receive, the faith step is we embrace. In fact, the title of the message today is Faith Embraces. The whole point of the message today is we must embrace the word God speaks. We embrace. True and saving faith is what gives you the ability to embrace. Why are we saying this is a faith thing? Because look at how verse 13 started. Paul says, this is why we constantly thank God. God gave the Thessalonians eyes to see. It was not the Thessalonians' own doing. In fact, we read in Scripture that sin makes us spiritually dead, and we need God to open our eyes. Even after receiving the Spirit of God, we still need God to open our eyes, and it's the work God did in their lives, the Thessalonians' lives, that gave them eyes to see. So if you're struggling to see, if you feel like your faith is breaking down, your life's crumbling, beg God to open your eyes so that you may see, so that you may embrace the living word of God, which is simply applying the word to your life. And if you're not a believer, it starts with applying the gospel to your life. So once God speaks, and then we receive, and then we embrace, here's what you can expect. God is going to work in you. God works. God works. That's what happened with the Thessalonians. Let's look. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14, and we're going to put it all together and pay attention to what happened when God spoke through Paul, and they received, they embraced. Look at how God works in their life. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews. So how does Paul know they embraced the word of God? Because the word of God worked effectively in them. God's at work in their lives. How do we know God's at work in their lives? Well, we know from 1 Thessalonians 1 that they got saved. That's some of you today. You just need to give your life to Jesus for the first time. Let God have control of your life. But it's not just that. They got saved. They laid down idols. They had fruit, faith, hope, and love. The word, the powerful word of God, literally transforming their lives. And then we see very clearly in verse 14, and we learned this in chapter 1, they were enduring persecution, heavy, awful persecution. So I came here just to simply tell you that true faith embraces the word of God for what it is, but you need help in doing that. That's why it's a saving faith that allows us to have our eyes open to the living and effective word of God. And once we see faith embrace, or what faith embracing life looks like, we see that God's speaking always, and we're remaining in a constant state of reception, receiving that word, embracing that word, and then watching God work. And this is everyday life. So I go back to that whole thought where that guy came up to me. And again, literally, I'm in the gym. He walks in. This guy can talk kind of loud sometimes. Just to be honest, everyone knows he'll really get passionate. So he really was kind of like this. I'm losing the faith. It was like that tense. It was the first thing he said. I'm losing the faith. Yeah, what's up? What do you mean? You're losing the faith. Losing faith in humanity, man. Well, what's going on? Can't stay away from the news. He's like, in fact, as I'm here right now, I've got the news going on in my house right now. I'm like, dude, I've been reading a book. Yes, you're on the path to an anxious life, my man. I didn't say that. But he was just like, yeah, I can't get away from it. And I, of course, was like, man, you're going to have to shut the news off. Well, I can't. He talks like that. I can't. Well, you're going to have to. Like, man, I get it. Like, I like to know what's going on in the world, too. And this is chaotic. It's nuts. It's sad. It's devastating. We would all agree with that. It's sad. And guess what it does when we begin to intake all the things going on, not just in our life, but in the world. You know, we already have enough going on in our own lives. And then you look what's going on in everybody else's lives, and it just sinks you in this ship of worry. And so this is how all of this works. Inevitably, there's some people who came in the house this morning because of what's going on in the world. You do have a little bit of worry. You do. It's just that's life. If you're one of those, I do not worry about anything. I just want to say that's awesome, but that's not most people. I think most carry a little bit of worry in their life, especially when it feels like the world is falling apart. So when it comes to doing what the Thessalonians did, we have to remind ourselves, for what is God speaking when it comes to worry? How do I handle the worries of the world? I think the most important thing you must do first, yes, we're going to go to God, but acknowledge that your reality can kind of crush your life sometimes. Like, don't say, oh, I'm just going to ignore what's going on in the world. No, acknowledge. Man, this is nuts. What's happening over in the Middle East? There's babies being killed. This is heartbreaking. Or maybe your marriage is struggling. God, my marriage is struggling. Like, word that out loud. Word it to God. Don't suppress it. Don't put it aside. It's the worst thing you can do. I'm a master at this, compartmentalizing and shoving all the worries and anxieties of life to the side, and I just power on because I'm a man. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't want anyone to know you're broken. No, acknowledge your reality. Man, this is hard. This is sad. I'm intaking, and I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling a little bit depressed. I'm worried. And then you go to the word, and that's when you find beautifully written scriptures like Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, what does God say? Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, or guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I've got the worry, God, but thank you, you call me not to worry. So I'm going to present my requests. I'm going to tell you why I'm worried, but I'm also going to do it with thanksgiving, and I'm going to trust that your peace is going to guard my heart and it's going to guard my mind in Christ Jesus. And today I'm going to make it. Lord willing, I'm going to make it. And you embrace that, and then you carry that all day. If your struggle is worry, you just quote over and over and over again, Psalm Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, I'm going to present my request to God, and the peace of God is going to guard my heart and mind. I'm not going to worry about anything. God, you tell me not to be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer. And you just repeat that over and over and over again. That's listening to the word, embracing the word, and applying it to your life. Now, I recognize there's a lot heavier things going on in life than maybe you're worried about what's going on in the world. Some of you have some sin in your life. It's crippling, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. If you need someone to talk to, please come and talk to me, Pastor Chris, Lacey, Jorge, if Connect Team Leader. Just find someone. Find a friend and say, I'm struggling. Here's what I'm struggling with. Stop living so trapped. It's not how God calls us to live. And that's not embracing the word. So God, we thank you for this word that you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful example of the Thessalonians who heard the word. They received it. They embraced it for what it is. And boom, you did a work in their lives. Thank you that you can do the same thing for our church today. And I pray that you would help us do that. Whatever we came into the building with, help us to take you at your word for what you say about that struggle. That there really isn't a body in the grave. Jesus really did die on a cross, and he conquered sin and grave through resurrection life. And you really do extend resurrection life to every single person on the planet. So I pray for the one that came in holding on to a sin or a struggle and they don't want to let go of it. God, I pray that those people's eyes would be opened to how merciful you are, how loving you are, how gracious you are. It doesn't matter what they did. Your grace is still enough, and your love still extends to them. The empty cross is for them. God, would you open eyes right now? We need it. What a lonely, lonely world people are living in today. Open their eyes so that they may see wondrous things from your law. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. The worship team's going to lead us in one last song. But I'm serious. If you need to talk to someone, talk to someone. If you just want to come down here and pray, come down here and pray. You are so loved.